right. Some good things coming up to remember. And speaking of remembering, fellas, men, guys, as of today, there's exactly 24 days till Valentine's Day. All right? Don't blow it. Get it right. And speaking of getting it right, there is a couple here that must have done something right because today they're celebrating 60 years of being married to one another. And I'd like to ask Pastor Lloyd and Jane Reese, could you find folks please stand up? You're wonderful people. We're thankful for you. Thank you. Whenever I meet a couple that's been married for 60 years, I'm just so impressed. First of all, you got to live that long. And secondly, to stay with one another and be an example for others to follow. We are so thankful for you guys, Lloyd and Jane. God bless you. May this day be a wonderful day for you. Thank you for sharing a part of your 60th anniversary with us by coming to church this morning. Yeah. Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Last Sunday, we started our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I trust that this has been a good week for you, that you've been off to a good start. If you missed it somehow or forgot or just kind of plain blew it, you can start over, all right? So start today. We've got 14 days left, right? So start today. And we're challenging everybody in our church just to spend extra time in the presence of the Lord. Spend extra time with your Bible. Spend extra time with the Lord. Get the television set turned off and distractions set aside. And just spend time really, really just sitting at the feet of Jesus and receiving everything that he has for you. In order to help us in this journey, I've written a 21-day devotional called Restored, and every day of this devotional takes us through scriptures that talk about how God brings restoration to every area of our lives. Now, all the printed copies, we had 300 printed copies, they're all gone, all right? But the good news is you can still use that devotional through the YouVersion app, the YouVersion Bible app. So if you don't already have that, download that to your phone or your iPad, and then you can just go under there. There's different reading plans, and if you do the search, it says find a plan, and then under the search, just type in the word restored. It will take you to our devotional, or you can type in my name, and that will get you there as well. And so for every day, it'll take you to a few scriptures and then a few comments that I make about those scriptures, and then there's a prayer at the end that'll kind of, it's not intended to be your entire prayer for that day, but it's kind of a starter to get you praying about the things that you're learning. And as a part of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, this Friday night, we are having an all-church night of worship. This is going to be a great night of worshiping the Lord together and believing for a fresh filling of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I'm very excited about this. I'm going to bring a little bit of teaching about baptism in the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is new to you, if baptism in the Holy Spirit is new to you, you're going to want to be there Friday night as we talk about this important aspect of our Christian walk. And so Friday night, going to be a great night, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus has come into the synagogue, and every week, every Saturday in the synagogue, a part of the synagogue service was reading from the Old Testament. And on a three-year cycle, they would read completely through the Old Testament, and they would read a passage from the first five books of the Bible, which we call the Pentateuch, and then or the Law, and they would also read a passage of Scripture from the prophets. So on this particular day, it was Jesus' turn to read, and he opens up the scroll to the book of Isaiah, and lo and behold, as he gets to this passage in the book of Isaiah, which was the scheduled reading for the day, it's a passage of Scripture that was a prophecy about him. Now, doesn't God have an incredible sense of timing, right? And so Jesus stands up and he reads this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Boy, you talk about restoration. This passage is all about, in a nutshell, it's all about what restoration is, that the Lord brings restoration to our hearts, to our minds, to our emotions. He brings restoration to relationships. He brings restoration to our relationship with God, because it all really kind of starts there. He brings restoration to marriages, to families, to our finances. How many of you'd like a little bit of financial restoration? Amen? Yeah, the Lord does that. He cares about every area of our lives. Look at some of the things that this scripture is talking about that Jesus said he came to do, to bring good news to the poor. Now, this is referring not only to those who are poor economically, but those who are poor in spirit, those that just feel empty and poor. Jesus comes to minister good news that there's life in Jesus. He proclaims also freedom for the prisoners, freedom for the prisoners. So those who are ensnared, held in captivity by sins and habits in their life that need to be set free. Also those that are prisoners to their past. You know, they just have a hard time moving beyond some of the mistakes they've made in their past. Those who are prisoners to doubt and discouragement, Jesus has come to bring freedom. And in another passage of scripture, Jesus said, "He who the Son sets free," speaking of himself, "is free indeed." He can set us completely free. Amen. And then recovery of sight for the blind. And again, this is a reference to physical healing, and Jesus did that on a number of occasions. Jesus healed people that were physically blind, but also those that are spiritually blind. We have our eyes opened, and we begin to see things that we didn't see before. You know, we all have blind spots, don't we? And it takes the Lord to open our eyes to start to see the truth about God, because the devil is a liar, and so many people believe lies about who God is and what he's about. And so the Lord opens our eyes to have recovery of sight so we can start to see who God really is. And then Jesus talks about the oppressed being set free. So Jesus sets us free from oppression and depression, from the things that just weigh us down, the burdens of life, the worries of life. It doesn't mean that Jesus is going to make everything perfect in your life, but he's going to give you the strength to carry those burdens. He's going to carry those burdens with you to set the oppressed free. And then he sums it up by saying, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Everybody say favor. Favor. That means God wants to bless you. And when it talks about the year of the Lord's favor, it's not talking about just a one-year opportunity. It's talking about a new age, a new era. And we're living in that era right now. We're living in the age of God's blessing right now, of God's favor right now. How many of you in this place believe that God wants to bless you? You believe that in your heart? You believe that God, because a lot of people don't get that. They don't believe that about God. And it's such a lie. It's such a lie, this idea that God doesn't, he's holding back. He doesn't really want to bless us. I want you to know God is on your side. He is for you. He wants to bless you. Jesus said it's the thief or the devil that comes to steal and kill and destroy. But he said, "I have come that they might have life, abundant life." God wants to bless his people. He wants to bless you. So to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So what we're going to talk about this morning is how God does this. And I want to draw your eyes back up to verse 18, the very first line. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to do these things." The Spirit of the Lord. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. So this work of restoration that we're talking about, it all begins with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Restoration is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible clearly reveals God as a Trinity, that there is only one God, but God, somehow, mysteriously, is three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are not three gods, there is one God, but God is three persons. You say, how does that work? I don't know how it works, but I learned a long time ago that I don't have to understand something in order for it to be true, right? I don't know how that works, but I know that this is what the Bible teaches. This is what God's word teaches, and God is not dependent on me understanding it for it to be the truth. So God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is a divine mystery. Now, the Holy Spirit is probably the least talked about person of the Trinity. A lot of people, you know, they talk about the Father, Father God. A lot of people talk about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is kind of God's secret agent working behind the scenes. He doesn't get talked about a lot, but that's okay with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does not come to glorify himself. He comes to glorify Jesus. But it is important for us to understand who the Holy Spirit is and how he works, what he does in our lives. So we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture this morning where we see the Holy Spirit, and we begin to learn about how the Holy Spirit brings restoration to our lives. And we're going to start really at the very beginning, literally Genesis 1:1, where it says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This is the first time we see the Holy Spirit in the Bible, right at the very beginning, verse 2. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we see that the Holy Spirit is actively involved in creation. We don't know exactly how, but the Holy Spirit was there, and the Holy Spirit was God's creation agent, all right? Bringing life, bringing about the creation. Now, this is really, really powerful when we couple that with what we understand about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, right? So the same Holy Spirit that worked in creation at the very beginning of time is the Holy Spirit that when we give our lives to Jesus, he makes us a new creation. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we give our lives to Jesus, it's not that the Lord just comes in and he does a little touch-up work in our lives. Oh, there's a little dent here. We need to pull that dent out. And there's a scratch over here. Let's just fix this up a little. No, Jesus doesn't come into our lives and just fix us up a little bit. He starts all over. Starts all over from scratch. We're a new creation when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I wanted you to see in this passage of Scripture that it's God who is the originator, the giver of life. The giver of life. You know, modern science and technology, they can do a lot of amazing things. But one thing science can never do is create life. They can extend people's lives. They can improve people's lives. They can save lives. They can heal lives. But modern science can never create life. Never been able to do it. Why is that? Because that's God's business. God is the only creator of life. And the same thing is true of our spiritual lives. The only one that can bring life to your spirit is God. You can't do that on your own. Religion can't do it. Religion can do a lot of things, but religion cannot create spiritual life. It's only the Holy Spirit that can do that. Never make the mistake of thinking, well, I'm going to be a religious person now. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start doing good things. I'm going to start being nice. And I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start doing all of these things. And it's going to save me. Now, there's nothing wrong with the things that I just talked about. They just don't have any power to save you. They don't. Religion does not bring life. It's only the Holy Spirit that brings spiritual life. There was a very religious man in the Gospels, a man by the name of Nicodemus. Very religious man. I mean, he was high up there in the Jewish hierarchy. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. These were the rulers over the Jewish people. Very religious person, strictly religious. Did a lot of good things, but still he didn't have life. And so Nicodemus, in John 3, comes to Jesus because he knew there was something different about Jesus that he had never gotten out of religion. And he comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus about eternal life. And here's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Church, that's a miracle. Unless they're born again. "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." Religion can never save us. It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings spiritual life to us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're thinking, "Man, I'd like to become a Christian. This sounds good to me. But I don't know if I can be good enough. I don't know if I can change enough to become a Christian." Listen, Jesus did not come to save the religious people. He came to save the broken people. Remember this, that your spiritual life and the ability to change your life is not a matter of you making promises to God. It's a matter of accepting and receiving the promises that God has made to you. You know, we make all kinds of promises to God, don't we? "God, if you'll just give me a second chance, I'll never do that again. I'm going to be better, God. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to stop doing that." And we make all these promises to God and nothing changes. Nothing changes in your life because of the promises you make to God. Things start to change in your life when you start believing the promises that God has made to you. And God's made all kinds of wonderful promises to us. Look at this, Ezekiel chapter 36. And this really is what Jesus was talking about with Nicodemus. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you to move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." You see, it's what God does in us that changes us, not what we promise we'll do for God. It's the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Now you say, "Tim, I've been a Christian for a long time. I got the Holy Spirit a long time ago." That's good, but you need to remember this. Remember this. That your life in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is not an experience. It's so much more than that. It's a relationship. It's continuing to walk with the Lord. It's not just a one-time experience. It's an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Important passage of scripture. And keep in mind as we're reading this, this is written to people who are already Christians. Okay? This is written to the church of Ephesus. These people are already Christians. And Paul writes this, "Do not get drunk on wine." Now, first of all, it's pretty sad that Paul would have to tell Christians not to get drunk. But apparently that's how it was. "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord." By the way, this is why we worship the way we do here at Bethel Church. It's not just a matter of like just going through a ritual. We're singing from our hearts because of what God has done for us. Amen? Yeah. So if you're from a more liturgical church and you come in and you go, "Man, it's kind of crazy around this place." Well, it's crazy for a reason. Man, we're just so excited about what Jesus is doing in our lives. That's why. Now, interesting verse, this verse 18. Interesting verse. The two things at face value don't seem to go with one another. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And just, you know, when you first read that, you think, what do those two things have to do with one another? Well, let me give you a couple of possibilities. First of all, both wine and the Holy Spirit bring joy. They do. The difference is, the joy that wine brings is temporary, right? And if you overindulge with wine, it just leaves you a headache. And it leads to debauchery. Leads to all kinds of other bad stuff. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit brings a joy to our lives that's still there tomorrow morning. Amen? And there's no such thing as overindulging on the Holy Spirit. No such thing. And then I also think of this. When someone overindulges on alcohol, we often call that being under the influence, right? Being under the influence. And being under the influence of alcohol leads to all kinds of bad stuff. Paul is saying, look, stop being under the influence of alcohol and start being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Which is good. When your life is being influenced by the Holy Spirit, good things happen in your life. Right? I'll just guarantee you, husbands, when your words to your wife are being influenced by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a better marriage. Wives, same thing. When our words, and I don't know about you, I know about me. I need all the Holy Spirit I can get in my life because I want my words to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. I want my attitude to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. I want my thinking to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. I want my actions to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit that brings change to our lives. You know, a lot of people talk about stuff they say they believe in, but they don't live it, right? Have you ever been out on the road and seeing someone give the one finger salute to the car in front of them, and then you look at the back of their car and they've got a sticker that says coexist. You want to say coexist? You can't even coexist with the car in front of you. Now, to be fair, I've seen people use the very same hand gesture with a Jesus bumper sticker on the back of their car. Sad to say. And this is just people saying they believe one thing, but really living a totally different thing. That ought not to be true of us as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? No, none of us are going to be perfect, but we all need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need God guiding and directing us every step of the way in our lives. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, every part of us. And then the Holy Spirit helps us in all kinds of ways. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Bible. One of the things you should always do before you read your Bible is say, God, what do you want to teach me today? God, open my eyes to understand your word. The Bible is a spiritual book. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you ever want to know, what something means in a book, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to sit down with the author and say, well, what did you mean here? I don't understand this ending. What does this part mean? Who is this character? And to be able to sit down with the author of the book, it's the greatest. And we get to do that with the Bible. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help us understand it. And then the Holy Spirit also helps us remember God's words even when we don't have a Bible around or we can't look up something. God will give us answers. He'll lead us and guide us in our conversations. The Holy Spirit will warn us. He'll give us the big flashing red light that says, danger, danger. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't push send. Don't. On your email or whatever, right? Don't post that. Don't. The Holy Spirit, he. I don't know if he does that for you. He does it for me all the time. We have to learn, man, don't run the red lights of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can go through the red light if you want, but you're taking a big chance. Oh, Yeah. Who said amen over there? Yes, amen, Chuck. Yes. So the Holy Spirit, he helps us every single day of our lives. Titus chapter 3, this is another great scripture that shows us what the Holy Spirit does. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. Who does that? By the Holy Spirit. It's not us changing ourselves. Whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody say generously. Generously. The Holy Spirit is poured out from the Father on our lives with generosity. Generously. Generously. Never think God is holding out on us. He's not. He pours out the Holy Spirit generously. Generously. On our lives. He's generous with the Holy Spirit. There is an unlimited open flow of the Holy Spirit into our lives. I want you to imagine, just picture with me this morning, a giant pipeline flowing between God and us. Big giant pipeline. And this pipeline represents the Holy Spirit of God being poured in our lives. Big pipeline. All that God has for us. Now I want you to imagine there's two big valves on this pipeline. One is on God's end, and one is on our end, all right? Big pipeline, two valves, one on God's end, one on our end. And I want you to know this morning that the valve on God's end is all the way open. It's all the way open. And if we are not walking in the power and the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's not because God's closed off his end of the valve, his end of the pipeline. It's because we've done something to close off our end. And we can do that. We can do that through disobedience. We can do that by not paying attention to God, not spending time in his word. We can start to close down the pipeline. God's end is all the way open. So shall we, church, decide this morning together to open the valve all the way up? Amen? Just throw that thing open. Say, God, I want all that you have for me. Everything that you have for me. I'm kind of a word nerd. I like words. I like to explore the meanings of words. And a few weeks ago, I came across this word that we don't use very often. It's the word doldrums. You familiar with that word? Someone says, I'm in the doldrums. Right? Okay. Maybe it's not used as much as it used to be. So I did a little research about this word doldrums. What does that mean to be in the doldrums? Why do we say that? And what I discovered is that word actually started as a nautical term. And it started back when all ships were made out of wood and their only means of propulsion was through a sail, through the wind, right? And there are certain places on the globe that have these convergences of winds from the north and the south, and they're always 5 degrees above and 5 degrees below the equator. And sailors started to notice that there were times where they would get caught in these weather patterns that they called the doldrums. And one of two things would happen in these areas of the globe. Either they would have some incredible violent storm just out of nowhere, or the more common thing was that the wind from the north and the wind from the south would cancel each other out, and there would be no wind. So they would be caught in the doldrums. So their ship couldn't move forward, couldn't move backward, couldn't move in any direction. For days, sometimes weeks on end, these ships would be stuck out there, and they couldn't move because there was zero wind. And they couldn't get themselves out of it. I mean, there's no motors back then, and there's no way they could row out of it. If they got caught in the doldrums, they were stuck, and the only thing that would unstuck them was when the wind came, right? And so that word has come into our language to talk about how sometimes we feel stuck. We feel like we're in the doldrums. We're not going frontward, we're not going backwards, but we're just stuck. We're just in the same place. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the only thing that will get you out of the doldrums is the wind of the Holy Spirit. It's the wind of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to row yourself out of it. You're not going to work yourself out of it. The only thing that's going to move you is the Holy Spirit of God blowing fresh upon your life and moving you forward into God's vision for your life. How many of you this morning would just say, I want all of God's Spirit that I can get in my life? Amen. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Everyone in this place this morning, everyone, I want to ask you this. Are you here this morning and you can just relate when I talk about spiritual doldrums and just kind of feeling stuck? And you're thinking, wow, that kind of applies to me today, and I need a fresh wind of God's Holy Spirit to blow in my life and move me off point center. I've just been feeling kind of stuck, and it's not that you're a bad person. It's not that you're doing the wrong thing, but you just know you need a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in your life. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand up, just saying, I need a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in my life today. Yeah, thank you. Hands all over this auditorium. You can put your hands down. Now I want to ask a second question. Are you here this morning and you don't really have a relationship with Jesus? You feel kind of like you're on the outside looking in when it comes to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you're not going to be able to move forward from that without Jesus. You're not going to do it without him. It starts with Jesus in your life. And you can try to make yourself a better person. You can start going to church. You can try religion. But I'm here to tell you this morning, those things aren't going to get you anywhere. It's only Jesus that can bring change to your life. So I want to ask the second question. Are you here this morning and you want to receive Jesus into your life or recommit your life to Jesus? I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. So if that's you and you want to be included in this prayer, would you raise your hand this morning? Just hold it right up. Say, Tim, I want to give my life to Jesus today. If that's you, raise your hand right up. Yeah, God bless you. Right over here, sir, God bless you. Others today. And don't make the mistake of thinking, well, I'll do this next week or I'll do this later. You don't know where your heart's going to be next week. If God's opening the door right now, today is the day to walk through. Any others today? Yeah, God bless you. Awesome. Others? I'm going to invite you to go ahead and put your hands down. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Church, will you pray with those who have raised their hand this morning? Father God, I need you in my life. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. God, please forgive me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe you have risen from the dead. Lord, I open the door of my heart. And I invite you to come into my life today. I want to be a new person. And Jesus, you're the only one that can do it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I want to thank you for those that just prayed that prayer. I pray, God, that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, that you will establish them in your family. Establish them in your word, God. Lord, I pray that what God has done, what you have done in their heart this morning, will not be stolen away by the enemy. But Lord, this is going to be a fresh start in life, a new journey with Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's just respond to God's word today with this song. Make this song your prayer today.
Season is over, there is a cloud beginning.
Thank you, Lord. So lift your hands up to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. God, this morning as we lift our hands to you, Lord, this is our way of saying, God, we want the pipeline to be open, God. We just want to take that valve and open it wide up, Lord. We want all of you, God, that you're making available to us. We ask, God, that your Holy Spirit will fill our lives, empower our lives, fill us with your love. God, fill us with your grace, Lord. Lord, may our words be guided by your Holy Spirit. May our attitudes, Lord, be softened by your Holy Spirit, Lord. God, may we be people that reflect the love of Jesus wherever we go, and we confess, Lord, that we will never do that without your help. God, we need you each and every day. Help us as husbands. Help us as fathers. Help us as wives. Help us as mothers. Help us, Lord. Fill our lives with yourself, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to mention this too. You know, the Holy Spirit, he works in our lives to bring transformation to us personally. But the Holy Spirit also works in our lives to give us boldness and courage to talk to people about Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So when it comes to Jesus, we don't want to keep him a secret. Amen? People need to know the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit gives us love and compassion. He gives